This is a tape for Heritage Development. Today's date is September 1st, 1982. The narrator, say your name please.
Is Sister Mary Philip Wheeler.
The interviewer is Sister Sally Witt. We're at St. Joseph's Convent in Baden, PA. Sister Mary Philip, I wanted to ask you about the time that you spent in Alcoholics and Titus. When were you there?
I was assigned to St. Titus Aliquippa in the school term of 1933 to 34, 34, 35, 2 years in all.
What was the main work that you did while you were there?
I was the first year I was there, I was a third grade teacher, and I advanced with my class to teach the fourth grade.
Did you like that?
I passed it.
Having the same children?
Yes, I liked it very much. The children at St. Titus were very, a very docile type of children from many, many, many foreign backgrounds. And they were all very, very pleasant to deal with and very intelligent. I enjoyed it very much.
What were some of those nationality backgrounds?
Just about everything. I mean, there were, the only thing we did not have a Negro child in the class, but I think we could probably say we had practically every other, you know, nationality represented, particularly the Polish and the, I don't think I can just say for certain because I know. I had two students that become sisters, St. Joseph in that class, those classes, Sister Ruth Sattler and Sister
Martha Hawks.
Hawks.
Yeah.
Martin Mary Hawks. That class. And they were very intelligent children and very, as I said, very docile. I enjoyed the school life very much. And on Saturdays we taught Sunday school to huge numbers of students in the public school because there wasn't room at St. Titus, and I think there were close to 500 Catholic students attending other schools. That time.
Just grade school
students? Grade school. Uh-huh. And we had them, I can't remember whether it was Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Must have been Sunday, must have been Saturday morning. And it was a very nice, clean, very quiet area where the school was located. It was a new school building and built for 8th grades. And the church was across the street, and as was the convent. The convent was an older building.
Yes.
Convent was an older building, and it had, including the basement, it had three other, it had a basement, 2 floors, and an attic. It was the original building. I mean, it's been added to since. And the neighbors were quite genial and very generous with the sisters, very nice with the sisters. We had about, I think we had about 8 sisters all told. The first year, Sister Victoria was a superior, and I think principal. And the second year was my Sister Bernadette. Sister Mary Jude and I were the novices. And our house was conducted under the true convent style at that time, which was formalism. Everything was right on the dot. Everything was carried out exactly as it was supposed to be.
What kind of thing did you mean by that?
Well, we had a regular prayer time. We had a regular meal time. We carried out the regular rules of community for discipline at that time and for we had funny names, so I can't remember the right. Chapter falls. And meals, of course, on time. And kind of a rigid, it was kind of a rigid atmosphere. I think the idea of the spirit of mine was that she was to form us, to mold us into something or other. Kind of a hard mold.
Everybody or just the two of you?
Well, particularly the two of us. But everybody, all of the routine setup. The area seemed to be, I don't recall anything, any difficulty with supplies or strikes or anything of that sort at that time. I think, though, that was the only time that I was not able to cast my vote, because when we were going down to cast our vote, we were told that there was a big fight going on down in the voting area for us not to go, and that they would come for us later. And I think it was better for you. I think they didn't want us to vote.
Who told you that?
These people on the commission. Or we went down to vote, and they said, "Oh, don't go in there, since there's a fight going on." But I really feel that it was an effort to refute. The only place I was ever turned away.
Would you have been? Do you remember what party you were registered at the time, or many of the sisters?
Democrat, I was.
I wonder if many of the sisters were.
Well, we seem to be the only two turned away. So I don't know what the others were.
Who was the other one?
Sister Mary Jean.
And the other sisters voted?
Anyone who wanted to, and I don't know. About how the vote is, you know, you never ask people, did you vote, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I've known it's a long time ago. So I can't just recall, but I do recall not getting the vote.
Where did the sisters get advice about voting?
Well, I think they asked the pastor, principally. And I think some of them, you know, a lot of them. So we were the youngsters. We weren't allowed to read newspapers in those days, or anything for that matter. So we got it just from listening to what the others said, you know. And I don't think there was a radio or TV. I don't remember. I know we didn't have a TV. I don't even remember a radio then. So, you know, it was kind of just talking with your neighbors, and the people there were very friendly.
Did you get chances to talk with the people much?
On the school or in a school, when the parents would come and talk about their children and so forth and so on, or after school, you know, when you were after church, and you might be. But it was kind of a restrictive 2 years as far as Sister and I were concerned, because we were novices, you know. So
What sort of things did the people talk about with you?
Generalities. I couldn't think of anything specific.
Did you have
about how well the children were doing and all that kind of thing, you know?
Was the depression obvious to you?
No, and the merchants along the main street seemed to be, you know, quite, pretty prosperous. I mean, I don't think anybody they know of went, into bankruptcy or anything of that sort. Of course, it was, you know, one street with a lot of stores on it. We got down there very rarely, sister and I, but what we could see were pretty prosperous. And of course, there were plans all around us that were kind of a mystery to us. There's Plan 11 and Plan 12, and we were sort of just down in a hole there, as it were, you know. It was very, as far as the house was concerned, and some of the people I lived with, that part was very pleasant. But as far as the depression, I don't recall hearing anything about strikes or murders or robberies.
What about unemployment?
It didn't seem to affect the school in any way. I mean, and that's the only way I would have known. Sister Victoria was a very charitable person, catechetically and so forth and kind. I mean, she used to visit poor families, and sometimes she'd take us with us. I remember going with her to visit a family who didn't seem to have very much of anything, and I know I was terrified because they opened this kitchen door and there were the animals, in the stall right outside the door there. And they had a pot-bellied stove, and a big pot of kettle of something on and cooking. That's the only place I ever remember being taken.
What kind of animals?
Oh, cow and goat. I was sort of surprised to see them, that close. And of course, Sister Mary Jude and I, thank God we had a sense of humor. We made fun out of everything. And had to. We wouldn't have survived. I'm not telling you too much about the place, but that's, now Plan 12 was supposed to be it was just the beginning to develop, really. And Plan 11 was more or less considered the less desirable area,
Did you have students from there?
I had students from everywhere, They came from everywhere, It was like a quiet town atmosphere, the whole thing, the whole place. I mean, there was nothing ever teeming about it as far as I could see. They had bands once in a while, something like that sort of thing. I think the high school, which was up on Plain 12, to us it was just like sort of a name. I mean, we never got to see it or had any contact, So I'm not too sure that I can tell you too much more about it unless you want to know the names of people who were there at that time.
You mean the sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, who were the sisters?
Well, I can't remember all of them.
All right.
Sister Victoria, Sister Carmelita, Sister Daria, Sister Germaine, Sister Coleman, Mary Jude, Sister Mary Phillip, I think Sister Dominic. Did I say Germaine?
Yes.
I cannot recall any others. I think Pascal, maybe.
Let me ask you about the school. About how many students do you have in your class?
In my class, I have about maybe 40 or 50.
Was there a limit to the number of students in a class?
It seemed to be.
I wonder how was it decided?
And as far as I know, there was no tuition.
Wonder how it was decided that some children went to St. Titus and some went to public schools and came to CCD.
I couldn't answer that. I think that the parents probably decided, you know. And I think probably the people from, I think a lot of ours came, I could be wrong, more came from Plan 11 than Plan 12. I think maybe Plan 12, there was a couple of the public schools up in that area, you know. I don't know.
In the convent, what was the celebration day like? Christmas or St. Joseph's Day?
Well, we had the usual Christmas tree and exchange of gifts. I think in those days we made boxes, you know, with different things in and exchange boxes, you know. And Sister Victoria was always having a procession. We had a very small house. Our community room was here, the chapel was here, and the sacristy was parallel to it. Well, she would have all kinds of processions. She was a music teacher. And, you know, Tessa was hysterical. I mean, just that you were kidding me. And then we would march around this area, you know, make processions and everything like that. And to us it seemed kind of stupid. No, I guess it's because we were young. And she had great devotion. Oh, and she had a sister friend across the river, and I can't think of her name.
Is that Sister Ambrose?
Ambrose. My dear Ambrose. There was always a going and a coming. And we always had a big dinner with Sister Ambrose. And if there was anything really, well, the novices, just the junior, I guess we were even junior, were not from, you know, didn't get into any of this hubbub of this visiting or any of this sort of thing. We just stayed home and were glad to be there. A lot of my experiences there, I just couldn't put on to.
When people traveled, like you said, Sister Ambrose and Sister Victoria, how did they travel?
They had a car. I don't think whether they had a car or they got a neighbor to take them, and I think they got a neighbor each time. You know, borrowed a car. Somebody to take them back and forth.
But in general, what kinds of transportation did you use?
Well, we used car.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember some of the people that
were driving? Well, maybe a Mr. Smith. I don't know who else. I forgot to say, too, that I think Father Zoller was pastor. And then there was an assistant of Father Coleman. They were both very fine priests. Very much interested in the school. Mr. Espy was the janitor. He lived next door to us. Later they bought the Espy home and attached it to the development department.
You brought up Father's Honor. How was he supportive of you in school?
Very much so. Except he had no control at all. You know, I mean, you had to sort of warn the kids before it came. He was too he was too much of a grandfather type. You know, I mean, he loved the children, and he had no control over them, including for religion wise. You know.
Did that make you happy to see him come or not?
Well, you we were always happy to see him come. He was such a nice, genial person. But as far as, well, you felt a little apprehensive, you know, about the children. They wouldn't do anything except make noise. Or, you know, he'd ask a question and they'd all come out of their seats with their hands, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't recall Father Coleman in the classroom, but I think he was much more effective. I remember one time we had a visit while I was there from the superintendent of schools. I don't remember his name, Father Campbell. And I recall his coming in for a music lesson. I had music, and he sat down in the front of the room, and I was her music teacher. But at any rate, I had them singing and playing The Race. And of course, you know, tried to keep up tempo and so forth and so on. So when I got finished, I said, "Well, Father, I don't think that sounded like too much of a race to you." And he said, "What was that, sister?" He had been asleep. He was asleep. But he was very nice. In fact, he went upstairs and gave Sister a compliment about the work. Not that part, about the mathematics or something. But that was Sister Bernadette. She was kind enough to tell me.
Did the people talk to Father's Honor about their struggles or their difficulties?
I'm not aware of any of that. To me, I don't know why I remain untouched by that, if it really existed. And of course it must have existed. But it just didn't reach the two of us. And I guess because we were sort of, you know, cloistered. You know, and I didn't hear from him because my father, fortunately, was employed every day of the Depression and had a fairly good job. And, you know, I didn't hear from him that way either. So, I don't know. I think they would have talked to Father's Honor, and I'm sure he would have helped them. And I'm sure that Sister Victoria did a lot of work with the poor. I'm sure she did, you know, but I never got to hear about it or, you know, that sort of thing. But she would have been the type that would have taken up. She was very generous that way. And I'm sure that she went out and visited poor families and so forth.
Would she have taken some of the other sisters?
Yeah, she would have taken the older sisters with her.
What about Father's Honor? Was he well known in Alabama itself?
Oh yes, and he was well loved. He was an easygoing, you know, not easygoing, but I don't know how to put it. A man at peace with himself. That's about the best way to say it. Another thing I should remark here, too, is some of the practices they had at church. They had the blessing of the Easter baskets. They had, when we had a black mass, even, you know, well, not a funeral mass, the catafalque was brought out and placed in the center aisle. They had all of those traditional, you know, customs, like when other countries, you know, that sort of thing, I guess.
Were they connected with the nationality backgrounds of the people?
You mean the church?
some of those devotional practices.
Yes, I think so. And the veneration of the cross, you know, like falling up, kneeling down a bunch, well, this far here to there, and going on your hands and knees to the comfort of the venerated cross, things like that. You know, it was a, I can still see Mr. Derrick, the undertaker. And you know, when you're young, you're giddy. And I was sitting in the front of you, and all of a sudden this big hand came out, you know, on the floor. And I looked down, there was Mr. Derrick going up on his hands and knees, and then it right to the front. And of course, I got silly. And really, I got worse when we got home, and at the supper table, somebody said he'd crawled up the whole center aisle. Well, I knew he didn't, but, you know, he wouldn't dare say he didn't. But it struck me sometimes.
What kind of things did you do for recreation?
I read and studied. It didn't seem to be too much time for recreation. Might take a walk, you know. There didn't seem to be too much time for that sort of thing.
What, but did you do much walking in the place?
Not a whole lot, no. No, I could say that I did very little. That part of it seems to me just sort of a blank, you know. We came home from school, we had charges to do, and there wasn't too much time, then it was supper, then it was time to study the next day, and then we went to bed, got up and started over, you know, so it was.
How did the children, being of different nationalities, how did they seem to get along?
Very well. The children were very good, and they were not, you know, really, that nationality differences weren't, didn't seem to be that great. You know what I mean?
Do you have any students that had language difficulties?
No, I hadn't. And one thing I did do was encourage them, if there was another language spoken at home, was to learn that language, because that gave them one more thing. One more value that other people would have to get paid dearly to get. I tried to get them not to look down upon their parents, you know, because they didn't speak English or so on and so forth. I recall that. I don't know whether this enters into the depression or not, but Sister Victoria had rather unique ways of supplying our coverage. One day she told the students it was my birthday, and I went to school, and the next thing I knew, all kinds of canned goods went rolling up the aisle, and they said, "Happy birthday." Well, I was a little surprised, you know, because it wasn't my birthday. But anyhow, we got a lot of canned goods. And I said, "What if they don't remember next year? My birthday is next year." Oh, but anyhow, we got a lot of canned goods.
Is that why she told them?
Yeah. Now, whether she wanted to give us the poor or not, I don't know. I don't know what her plan was. I never knew, you know. But it was rather an startling experience.
How did the sisters shop?
I just went out and shopped, you know, and went to a couple and we'd go down to the... I don't think we had anything delivered. I don't remember having things delivered. We just went down the avenue and shopped. You didn't have to go too far to get stuff, you know. And the neighbors, if I remember, were fairly good in bringing things in. Little, not great things, but, you know, a cake here and that pie there and that. Some vegetables here and there, you know.
Do you know if the sisters paid cash? cash or if they charge things. Do you do that?
I wouldn't know that.
What about?
I don't know how they handle the finances. The only thing I know about the finances is that I helped Sister Jerry account the Sunday collection. And that was the only thing I knew. It was one of our jobs. But as far as I knew about money.
Was that, did you count the children's envelopes or something like that?
I guess it was the children's, I don't know. I just know we counted envelopes.
What was your prayer schedule like at that time?
Well, we had the regular, I forget what time we got up. It's always early, though, you know that. We went down and we didn't have Mass in the chapel every morning, but we had it a couple times a week. And then we had what our regular, what was community morning prayers at that time, meditation. And then at 4 o'clock, at noontime we went in, we had examination of conscience and so forth and so on. Examine, as they called it at that time. And then at 4 o'clock, I think it was, we went in and said our 4 o'clock prayers in our office and so forth. Then after supper, we had our main prayers.
Were most of the prayers in the community at that time, were they recited? Or were they said the more silent?
They were recited except for your meditation. And the meditation, the so-called points of meditation were read. You know, suggestions, you know, like were given. But the whole community said the same thing, had the same thing. And I can't recall. I mean, it was a pretty rigid schedule. You know, this was, well, these were the times, I mean, this is what you did, you know. So there wasn't too much time for carrying on.
Regarding those different plans, were they connected with nationality, or were they connected with income? In Aliquippa, the difference by plans 11 and 12. And
I couldn't be positively sure, but I think it was income.
Was?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Did you know at the time the kind of work that people did?
I know they worked in the mills, mostly in the mills there.
Was the mill obvious in the town in any way, besides being the fact that people worked there? Did they sponsor things or did they give things?
Mm-hmm, to my knowledge. I don't know, you know, the mayor. I never heard of it. I can't remember anyway.
Do you remember any of the celebrations in the town?
Well, they have a parade like on the 4th of July and something like that, you know, nothing too great.
When you talk with the families on the children, what were some of the things they wanted for their children?
Well, I don't know. They really seem to want them to do well, you know, excellence and
you mean in education?
In education. They wanted them to perform well. And they were all very good people. I mean, you can understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Grimes and, you know, so forth and so on, all these people. And they were interested in their children getting a good education and carrying out what was expected of them. They were very cooperative.
Did you ever have an idea of the kinds of works they wanted their children to do in the future?
No, but to my knowledge, see, I had the third and the fourth. It's a little bit early for them to start talking about what I'm going to be, you know.
What about in the parish? Do you remember parish celebrations?
Yeah, no, I can't. You will. I really can't, and I don't know why.
Do you remember any ethnic clubs or clubs that people belong to?
No. I don't. We were more of us marooned. And the other sisters didn't have much chance to get into that either, you know. I don't remember too much about that at all. It is, you know, almost 50 years ago.
I know. Oh, I know. It's a long time.
Anyway, I can remember some things quite vividly, but they wouldn't be good. Just show me one. Take.
You're talking about things within
personal,
the community.
Yeah. Myself, yeah.
What about the stores? Do you remember any stores that were there?
Oh, I should be able to remember some of them. There's a hardware store, I can't remember the name of it. I've been off on tape.
Mostly worked in the mill. Wonder what most of the women's activities were.
They were housewives. I don't think they did too much of, you know, anything else.
Did they seem to get involved in church activities?
Yeah, I think they did. I'm not too sure whether they did suppers and all that kind of thing or not. I don't know if I was never involved in them. I don't recall them. It's as if we were kind of isolated.
Do you remember any people that seemed like they were leaders or that they were important?
Well, Mr. Derrick was a leader, the undertaker. He was outstanding. And at all, he's about the only one I can remember. There were Smiths who lived next door to us, but I don't think he was, you know, too active. It was a good family, but I don't think he was too active in anything. And we were closed in by Espy's on the other side, so we had a chance there. And they were quite, I'd say, you know, what janitor's salary would be in those days. I should remember some of those families, though. Like, seems to me there was a, if I hear them, I could know them more. I mean, if I hear them, I recognize them.
I've heard someone mention a Kane family.
I don't remember that. I'm not going to be able to remember her name, but she was the organist. She was a beautiful character.
Is that Margaret O'Neill?
Yeah, she was a beautiful person. She did an awful lot. You know, she was dedicated, a real dedicated person. I had her little sister in school. And she was father's right in Bower, you know. Did a lot of practicing everything, you know, for the church, you know.
Was she the secretary besides being the one?
Yes. I remember she had, I think, two sisters. I think her mother, I think her mother was fairly active. It seems to me there was a Palladino, some kind of a, I have heard names since, and I thought, oh, you know, they're Sal Cooper. Can't think of them now.
Plotnick.
Yeah, Plotnick was one of them. And I think Camel. I think I get mixed up between Ambridge and Alquippa because I was both places. I think Camel was a dentist. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's interesting. You've been in Alquippa and Ambridge. Could you make a comparison between those two places?
Well, I'd say that Ambridge was seemed to be a much more prosperous area, you know. And as far as the convent area was concerned, the area was much more populous. You know what I mean? In Alquippa, you were down between those hills, and you were like a little, I don't know what you call it. But Ambridge and the stores there all seemed more active, more like our small town main streets now, something like that. And the people there were, of nationality.
Yes.
It seemed to me, but again, I think it was because of our location. It seemed to be a much more active and, a more developed, the library was there and the...
Ambridge
and that sort of thing. You know what I mean? It was a big library for judging. A football team, to the extent that they were holding kids back that should have been graduated, so it would mainly take names. I was teaching people who should have been married. But, it was a much more alive to me. But as I said, I was done in Alquippa.
When were you in Ambridge?
In 39 and 40.
Did the ethnic groups, could you see a difference in, did they keep more to themselves in one place or another?
I didn't notice it. I was more emancipated at that time.
You were professed by him?
Oh, yes. And I had a different superior. I had such a superior.
Oh.
And so I was older, I'd seen more and so forth, and so I was scared to death in Alcoa. But Amber seemed like kind of a thriving, maybe fourth class city or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is. But it was alive, very much alive.
Do you think there was any difference in the fact that Alcoa had one big employer, the mill, and Ambridge had a couple big industries?
Yes, it could be. And then it was many years later. Not many years, but 6 years. And I don't know which one was older, but one developed before the other two.
I don't have any other specific questions. Do you have any kind of general remarks about Alquippa? There, what united them, or what divided them? What
do
you just recall about them?
Well, I think they were united. I think what united them there were their family interests and their church. The ones that I could see, and their common causes, freedom, what have you. They were all I think they were all sort of civic-minded people, just real common, ordinary day, everyday citizenship. And church going, church loving. See a lot of the women at church every day. And I don't know about the men, but we all did see the women. And there didn't seem to be much, if any, you know, crime or that kind of thing, you know, murders.
Were there any places that you couldn't go because it wasn't safe?
I wasn't allowed out.
Well, was that the reason, though, it was safety? Or
was well, I think the safety was pretty, I think the safety was good. I don't think, I don't recall hearing a whole lot of crime or that kind of thing, you know. I think the worst there would be just some saloon brawls, you know, something like that. But as I said, we couldn't read the paper, and we didn't have many people to talk to, so you know what, you know. I don't remember anything great. We had one event at this church for money raising, and I can't even recall what that was, but it was successful, and that's the only thing I remember about it, and I don't even remember what it was. There's something different, though, and unique.
And were you allowed to go to it?
Well, it wasn't an event. It was a raffle sometimes, some kind of a thing like that. And I think Father, what did I say his name? Not Father Sharp, Zahner, but the other one. I think he was the one that sponsored it. But I know we were all happy about it, whatever it was about, why we were all happy about it. I guess it was successful. But, it's, that's about all I can tell you about it.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
I can tell you a lot off record, but I wouldn't put it on record.
Okay.